Hey everyone, my name is Chris Bustamante. I'm an aesthetic nurse practitioner and the founder of Lushful Aesthetics. What I love about beauty is that there's so many layers of creativity and so many opportunities to make people feel more confident.
From New York City, you're listening to Beauty is Your Business, covering the intersection of innovation and business in the beauty industry.
Hi, this is Mimi Banks, and you're listening to Beauty is Your Business. And today I have the absolute pleasure of having Injector Chris on the show. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for being here. I'm so good to see you. So Chris and I met during a MERS Aesthetics training, and we did a training together, and I was just so blown away by his approach to social and really how he's built his business using social media. So now that I've given away your secret and what we're going to talk about, I'd love for you first to introduce yourself and just share a little bit more about how you became Injector Chris.
Yeah, so really not much creativity behind the term Injector Chris, but I also think that simplicity is best when it comes to finding people on social. And so, you know, a lot of people in the aesthetic community who do injectables will just have simple handles like that. I've been in the beauty industry for 10 years. For a good portion of my life, I was a makeup artist. I used to work for MAC through a Nordstrom. I worked at Macy's. I worked at freestanding MAC stores. And so I've always really been in beauty. Even after that, I worked in social media marketing for an e-commerce beauty site that was like kind of like the Korean K-beauty of similar to Sephora. And so I've always been in some aspect in beauty. And I've touched so many different spaces, both from like retail and behind the scenes where, you know, e-commerce and digital marketing, and now being a healthcare provider who does aesthetic treatments. It's kind of been like a full circle experience of being in this space and really seeing the space change in so many different aspects of it. Even today, like I was just getting something to comment on from my PR company about the changes that we're seeing in luxury skincare, how luxury skincare itself has to be revamped and potentially, you know, really not quite as luxurious anymore because people don't see the value in that anymore. Now that we have so much more education on social about people not needing to spend that much money on skincare as they once thought they had to, we're seeing all those changes. So for myself and my practice, January 11th makes 2 years. So it's pretty exciting. And we've grown a lot. I went from having one tiny little room that I lease in a co-working space to having four. I have 3 full-time staff members. So I have 1 esthetician who's full-time with me. I have a practice manager and I have a social media assistant. One of the things I think that was key to my early success in working for myself is that as soon as I could afford a social media assistant, that was my first hire. I really felt it was important to capture what I do well and display it on social. It was so different than when I first started. I was by myself and trying to record things with a tripod. It's not always the same quality of content that you can really create. Not alone also saying that like, it's just hard going home every single day after work and editing all your videos and doing all that. Like, so it's really nice and quintessential for me to have someone else here who is capturing those moments in real time, making them look as organic as possible, getting your best lighting, getting your best angles, and then also editing it all together so you can really display your work on social media. I think that's been a huge thing for us in regards to growth.
I mean, there's so much to unpack here. I love the fact of your 10 years in beauty and that started as a makeup artist. So already you have this ingrained in you from an aesthetics perspective, how you are helping the patients that come to see you. Before we get into like the details of social, I also want to talk about so where you are today and the kind of aesthetics that you do as a provider and your niche and your target audience, because then I think it's even more interesting to understand than your approach on social.
Yeah, so my practice is very unique in that regards to like 95% of our patients are men. I think that that's a pretty huge deal. You know, I talk to a lot of people at MERS about this and other providers will ask me because in aesthetics and aesthetic medicine, it's pretty rare to ever have more than 30% men in a practice. That would be high. That would be considered high as 30%. I would say most practices are around 10 to 15%. So the fact that I've kind of created this practice that's tailored towards men is of interest of a lot of people of how I was able to accomplish that because they're looking to see how they can get more male patients into the door. And I will say that it's a combination of 2 things. One of those is that from one of my prior positions, I worked in an office that was really focused towards LGBTQ, lots of gay men. And it was kind of a unique setup because it was a proctology office that just started expanding their aesthetic space. And I was basically just doing like laser hair removal there, but chemical peels. So I wasn't injecting there. I had another injection job where I worked at a regular med spa and saw mostly female patients, just like everyone else. But I developed a following at that other job because I really was the first person to ever work doing aesthetics in that office. And we started working with a lot of social media influencers, and most of which are OnlyFans creators, sex workers, and, you know, porn stars. And so it got me a big following on social media. But back then I was really only selling, like I said, one thing to that demographic of people. So I was just laser hair removal. So that it only had a certain capacity that you were able to really scale it on. And then it's when I left and started my own business that I started posting on social all my before and afters, all those sort of things. And at that point, my ratio was probably more like 70-30, 70% men, 30% women when I first started. But I was posting these before and afters on my Instagram before I even had my brand page. So everything was underneath Injector Chris. And what was performing best was the before and afters of men. And it just made sense because I had developed a following from collaborating with all these OnlyFans and porn star creators, you know, that just had mostly male followings. So those male followings were engaging with the male content. And so those would perform the best. And so when I started playing around with different aspects of social, and like the first thing I always tell everyone, and you mentioned this as well during our speaking, was that try boosting a post. And so I would start boosting posts, and I would boost posts of everything, you know, men, women, and, you know, everything that I was doing. And you would see from the analytics that I was spending so much less money per click on men because more people were clicking on it. And so as I kind of kept progressing through it, I was like, it seems like the most obvious answer was just to really focus on promoting men because that's what's, I'm getting the most bang for my buck from a marketing perspective. And so that's what I kind of just leaned into. And so it quickly just sort of became this niche out of this situation of me posting on social and just kind of reading through the lines of like, this is what's responding the best. From there, it just kind of really became extremely more niche and more tailored to that. And so now, like, my practice really focuses on so many things that attract men in, right? We do tons of jawline filler. I do lots of sexual enhancement procedures, such as penis filler. And so my practice allows me to promote this in a way because our demographic of followers respond to it so well. And so we've really tailored a lot of our social media, both organic and ads, to this demographic.
Which is fascinating. I think there's a lot to think about here. The first is how you built a business for a niche audience, because that in itself is a challenge. And the second is now that social is really like the booster and helping you drive it. Porn stars and OnlyFans.
Yeah.
That's interesting. I didn't know that part of your story, but good for them for helping you build your business.
It was such a mutually beneficial thing. I mean, they would get work done for free or for highly reduced costs in exchange for a collaboration. They're some of the nicest people, and they're so sweet, and they're so excited to be part of the collab. And it was like awesome because as I grew, my account right now is quite large and gets lots of engagement. So it actually at this point is also more of a cross promotion, you know, and they're still also getting free stuff. So it works out pretty well because they get tons of followers through me, just like I get followers through them. So it's very mutually beneficial. And I found it to be just a lot easier to work with than trying to venture out and find different kinds of influencers who are different spaces, because there tends to be a lot more involved in terms of rates and all these different things that make it a lot more complicated. I found that working with these sex workers and people who produce these type of content, it was really cool because like as I met one and like develop relationships with each of them, and like they're just so easy to work with, I would get introduced to other people that they know, and I would just have this constant Rolodex of growing influencers to work with.
Right, which I think is so key now, because so many people want to work with influencers and they think that here's a case study of how working with influencers works. But what you said, which is really interesting, is that you had a relationship. You developed a working relationship. They're easy to work with. There's a mutual beneficial arrangement that they have a discount and they're going to post for you, which, you know, in this day and age of influencers, that doesn't always happen.
Yeah, it definitely is relationship-based. It's looking out for each other and sometimes doing a favor here or there. But I think that that's just so important altogether when it comes to business. I will meet so many providers who, when I tell them like my marketing budget, when I tell them my PR budget, how much I expense out for doing these procedures for free or highly discounted, they're like, oh my God, how could you do that? Whatever it is, like that just sounds outrageous. But I was like, but you're not thinking about the return on having these amazing, beautiful before and afters, because someone is obligated to come back in, get their aftershot taken when they're healed, you know, because that's the agreement, right? Versus if you just taking a snapshot of your patient and asking them if you can get that before and after, they're a paying patient. They're not really obligated to come back and give you the clean aftershots or, you know, come back dressed a certain way or have their hair done, make sure they look good for camera. It's really not, they're not obligated to do that for you. So what you end up with is a lot of these really janky before and afters. Even if your work is fine, even if your work is good, the quality is just not there. And so we know, I mean, I know from coming from a beauty background that in commercialized spaces, and I think that social media, especially when regards to ads as commercialized spaces, it's really important that everything is fine-tuned and every detail matters, right? So if I'm doing a lip filler, you know, before and after, and, you know, I see that the patient has like a little pimple on their left temple, like whatever it is, I'm putting a little concealer on it, right? That has nothing to do, I'm not hiding anything about my work because I'm not doing anything that's skin focused, right, for that procedure. So it's not like I'm doing like, oh, let me put makeup on someone for their Botox before and after because I want to cover their wrinkles or fine lines. No, this is not related to that. I'm doing their lip before and after, but I'm making sure the entire canvas looks beautiful and looks presentable for social. It's so important for that.
And really, I think, you know, and a lot of what we spoke about when we met and we were talking to different providers and injectors and dermatologists and other medical professionals, that when you're marketing or doing anything on social, even if it's whatever your product is, in this case, it's your services, you want to make sure that it looks its best. Now, it's still authentic, it's still relatable, it's still real, but it's understanding what that end user and the consumer responds to. And I think that you found that magic formula to say, yes, here's my work in the best possible light.
Yeah. You're always looking for the best angles on how to showcase it. Obviously, when you take before and afters, they have to be in the same angle so it's authentic. And we always do that. But we'll find the best angle of someone in the before shot so we can match it in the after shot. Some of these people who take these before and afters, I'm like, that is the most janky looking photo of that person. And I'm like, and I'm sure that person looks a million times better if you just gave them a different shot. But, you know, it's just such an afterthought of people to think about, like, how can I make this look its best? Because people don't realize like they have like 3 seconds on social media, right? Till someone swipes away. So it's really important that you capture that person's attention immediately and have them continue watching what it is that you're doing.
But they're making a judgment right there. Is injector Chris good? Literally, do I want to go there and do I like his style? Which is the same thing when they look at a product, when they look at a service, when they look at a brand, people are asking themselves the same thing. Can I relate to it? Is that something that speaks to me?
Yeah. And I think that for myself, you know, we try so hard to make sure that what we're putting out there on social is representative of our demographic. And I speak a lot towards that as well. I practice in New York City. New York City is obviously a very diverse city in regards to ethnicity, nationalities, races. And so for my social media, I always really try to make sure that there is diversity that is throughout my page. Because when you're going through social and you see an ad come through, you're going to relate most to someone who looks most like you. And so that's so important as well, is that I see some providers who, again, if you live in an area that's primarily just one demographic, and there's a lot of that in the US, so there's no malice behind it, and that's the case. But I think that it's definitely rough when you live in an area that's very diverse and you're only showcasing one type of person. I think that can be a big hindrance to your business, because so many people will come to me who are Black, they're Latino, they're Asian, and they're like, I came here because like you actually have before and afters of people who look like me. And I'm just like, yeah, I'm like, because I treat people like you as well. Like, I'm like, it's for real. And so I think that that is also really impactful, is to make sure that you are covering your ground and doing your due diligence when it regards to social that way.
Totally agree. And I think you said something very insightful there. People want to see other people that look like them.
Yeah. You can even go broader besides just like niche of like race and ethnicity as well. Like people will literally ask me, other providers, on how to get more men through the door. I'm like, well, the first step is actually having before and afters of men on your page. You're not going to get a good response from a male if you're just posting before and afters of women, because it's just like, even to me as a very progressive gay man, that doesn't relate to me at all. I don't really care what you can do on a 55-year-old woman. It's not relevant for men to look at these before and afters of women. So first and foremost, you want to make sure that you're capturing what it is that you're trying to sell. And, you know, coming from also like a sales environment, I know that what people respond to is just so different. And so men and women also tend to have very different approaches to how they receive sales information as well. The way that you speak to men and women is so different as well in a sales environment. I find women to be, they tend to be a little bit more spontaneous in the beauty space on whether they like something or not. And I feel like they tend to change their mind often because they're fed so much information from so many different outlets. It's really challenging sometimes in this space because women get hit with so many targeted ads, then they're seeing so much information and a lot of times it's conflicting information. I find my job to be a little bit easier targeting men because there's right now currently not as many people targeting men. And so I really kind of get to be a thought leader in this space and kind of create a certain standard of what it is that people should be expecting. Versus in women, like we already have 20 years of aesthetic medicine being focused on women and so many different opinions, some of them that clash from different providers. And so I think women can walk into these spaces and feel already very overwhelmed and confused. Versus men, I feel like when they come into the office, it might take them a little bit longer to get here. I think that it probably takes them more encounters with an ad to actually convert. But I think that when they show up, they actually have their mind a lot more made up.
So let's talk about your process. We know about that before and after. We know about content, but I'd love to hear just the entire process of starting with what happens when someone comes to you through to the what you choose to advertise and how you do it.
Yeah. So let's start with the social stuff and then how it kind of trickles people in and like what the conversation is in the room. My method and concept behind social media is giving people everything I possibly can about myself, the way that I practice, the style of work that I do, my approach, my safety, all those aspects that I put out there. I want people to know everything. And the reason for that is because when they come into the office, my patients are so well educated on me. They know exactly what I do, how I do it, why I often do it. And so the conversation is so simple in my office during a consultation before we do the procedure. It's basically just a really nice, clean recap of what they're here for, what they've done before, my approach, reiterating it to them. They usually are like, yes, I've seen it. I've done it a bunch of times. I like how you do this and like you do that. My only question is this. Okay, great. I answer it and we kind of proceed. And so it's so different than when I've worked at other med spas, right? When I didn't work for myself and I didn't have like a social media that I was like showcasing my before and afters and my approach and my technique and blah, blah, blah. And it's because those people show up to that med spa, they don't even know who they're getting that day. And they're talking to me. And of course, they're nervous. Of course, they have tons of questions. Of course, they don't really know what they want because they are not there for me. So they don't know what it is that I do. They don't know what it is that my approach is. They don't know, they're not familiar with my actual work. So there's a lot to unpack there. And there is no established trust. And so there is a unique aspect of social media. You could say this is good or bad. I don't know what the final opinion is, but we do establish trust with people that we constantly follow and engage with on social media. Even if we don't know that person.
Even a relationship. There's some sort of new kind of a relationship.
There's a pseudo relationship that's one way. And we feel like we know this person and we trust them. You know, there's, and I can speak for myself as a provider following other providers. And there are a handful where I'm like, oh my God, I trust this person. I've never even met them before. And so that is so important in this business. Again, I don't know what the final verdict is on whether that's good or bad. I mean, it's good for me. And I think that it's helpful for the patient and provider relationship, because if you are seeing a good provider, I think that from the get-go, just trusting your provider allows us to make more concrete decisions together versus having sort of this dialogue of you giving the patient information and you being unsure of how they're receiving the information because it's the first time they're hearing it and they don't really quite know how to move or proceed or act on it. So there's a lot of hesitancy there. And a lot of times I found myself in those situations before working for myself on being really hyper-conservative with treatments because people were so nervous and so afraid and they were not familiar with my work versus with my current situation being so, you know, all my patients knowing who I am because that's why they're here.
They've already seen it. They understand the results. They know what it's like. And so you've really like demystified it.
Right. They've already seen 30 before and afters of jawline and cheek filler on men. They've already seen, you know, over 150 before and afters of Botox on men. So it's like they come in, they trust me. So when I say you need 6 syringes for your jawline versus when they go somewhere else, they don't know that provider. That provider doesn't know them. They might be like, oh, let's start with 2. And it's because the provider doesn't have that confidence of talking to that patient because the patient doesn't trust them. And so they're being very nervous and very hesitant about going more modest or going more intentional with their purpose of why they're doing that treatment. Versus myself, I'm like, no, I am results driven. You're here for a result. I want to give you the best outcome possible. And this is what it takes. And also, you've already seen what this looks like. It's going to look natural once it settles. It's going to be amazing. And you've already seen it before. So we can kind of skip past all of that dancing around of, should I trust this person?
That trust goes a very long way because that also then converts into sales, like real actual sales and drives sales. And so I think really what one of my biggest takeaways from you, even from this conversation, is about the relationship. So you're creating a relationship online, you're creating a relationship with them as being approachable, as being an expert, showing the results, showing what you do, creating a relationship with influencers so that people want to come and see you. And really that in and of itself, that's a form of sales. Sales is about relationships, but I think the time and effort really pays off.
Yeah, and it definitely doesn't happen overnight. So a lot of people, they always want to put their money into something and feel like it converts immediately. Yeah, you'll do pretty well overall with like running some good ads and you'll see some good immediate conversion. But also think about the fact that a lot of these people who are seeing your stuff and they're not coming into the office right away, they're still intrigued and they're still interested and they're still going to keep following and moving along. And a lot of times it's them saving up enough money for the procedure, finding the right time for the procedure, all those things. So I've had people who said they saw me a year ago on their, you know, their feed, and they followed me since then, and they've just been waiting for this right moment to come in. So I got them a year ago through an ad, but it took them a year to come in. So everyone is different in regards to when that conversion happened.
It's the long game.
It's both short and long. You know, there are people who will, I'll put out an ad and I will see some people book immediately from that ad. You can even check to see, you know, where they came from. So you'll see that they came from that ad. So there's both. And I think that it's important for providers to know that, that social is both an immediate and also a long-term game. There are some people whose accounts grow very slowly in the beginning and then they will explode. And there are some people who go really fast in the beginning and they might start slowing down. And then there's everything in far few between. So social is definitely a game and you have to know how to play that game very well in order, I think, to be successful, especially in today's world.
This is so insightful. I always learn so much from you. I'm curious to know, though, you know, if you had one piece of advice to give someone that is trying to build their social, that they're trying to share their services, what is advice that you would share?
I think it's investing in yourself. I have spent so much money and time doing a lot of procedures on influencers, my friends, at highly discounted or even sometimes free, depending on what it was, in order to get the most beautiful before and after as possible. Because I truly believe, and my advice to every single person who walks through my door, especially people who travel from afar to see me, and they're like, I'm here to do this with you. I've been told this XYZ by my other provider back where I'm from, but I'm here because I like your approach to this. And sometimes there's that questioning about like conflicting opinions and all that between what they've done and what I've recommending. And so I always push it back in regards to, you need to make your decision based on the portfolio that you're seeing. I'm not saying that it has to be me. I always say that to patients as well. That's one of my disclaimers. I do not have to be the best person to treat you. If you think that there's someone else who has a better portfolio that is more impressive to you, that's who you should see. So I think in this industry, in regards to aesthetic medicine, that portfolios are very, very important. And so building your portfolio initially might cost you some money because you might not be able to get the best before and afters from your quote unquote real organic patients. So I think it's really important for you to invest in yourself, collaborate with some influencers or collaborate with your friends and give them a very, very good rate so that they can come in and do what you want with them. Do your recommended, what you actually want to create. Because a lot of times you're limited with organic real patients or with friends or whatever it is, if you're not giving them a discount, that they can't afford to do the full treatment. And so therefore, the before and after is subpar. It's not going to be noticeable on social, the before and after, because it's not distinctive enough. So if you cut someone a break and you're able to invest into that and actually give them the few extra syringes, so you can give them the best result possible that makes people go, wow, on social media, that's going to make you more money in the end run than what you just spent. But people are so afraid to do that and put up the upfront cost that they'll go several years with a mediocre portfolio. And before they know it, their competitors around them are eating them up. So I think it's just really important for you to take the risk and to be smart about it and to invest in yourself and figure out how to build up that portfolio.
It's a wealth of information. Thank you so much, Chris. And before we leave, if someone wants to find you, where is the best way for them to find you?
Yeah, it's at Injector Chris on Instagram, and at Lushful Aesthetics is my brand that you can also follow on Instagram. That has all of our branded content.
Thank you so much, Chris. It was so great to see you.
Great seeing you as well. Thank you for having me.
This has been Beauty is Your Business, produced by Mouth Media Network. Keep in touch on Instagram and Facebook at Mouth Media Network, and find prior episodes at beautyisyourbusiness.com and wherever the best podcasts are found. Your brand message can be on this show. Email us to find out more at podcast@mouthmedianetwork.com. Thank you for listening.